Well, the government doesn't create jobs. The private sector creates jobs. And the role of the federal government is to provide the conditions precedent for investment and for job creation. And our campaign is focused on what I call our Blueprint for America's Comeback, and it's a pro-jobs growth agenda to make sure that Americans, especially small business owners, are in a competitive advantage compared to the rest of the world. And it's proposing everything from making our taxes lower, and that would help create jobs. And I'm talking about taxes on job-creating businesses. Mm-hmm. If we unleash our American energy resources, hundreds of thousands of jobs would be created. People would be paying more affordable fuel prices, food prices, and groceries be less. We'd be more competitive as far as manufacturing and technology companies, and we'd be keeping our money here in the United States of America. And so whether it's reasonable regulations, competitively low tax rates, productive energy policy, and empowering education, all of those, and safe communities, and obviously a safe country, matter a great deal. And so for the federal government, they have certain priorities. The state government, local governments have priorities as well. As governor, I felt that education and law enforcement were the top two responsibilities of a state government. And the way you pay for it is with a vibrant, strong economy. And we were able to cut taxes and have prompt permitting, and over 300,000 net new jobs are created. At the federal level, the top responsibility is national defense and national security, and we need to make sure that our military is strong and with the best equipment and keep our promises to the veterans and their families who earn benefits. But other than national security, I'd really like to see the federal government stay out of our lives and out of our businesses.
Well, as you know, in the State of the Union address, President Obama laid out lots of initiatives that he would like to see Congress pass for boosting job growth in the country, including some tax credits for tuition and for companies that keep jobs here in this country. Anything in the president's speech this week that you would support as a senator?
Well, some of the ideas as far as college tuition, when I was governor, and education is primarily a state and local responsibility, I made funding for higher education and keeping tuition affordable a priority, and we were able to freeze college tuition while I was governor, and that saved about $4,400 per family with that. I think there are things that we can do, including reducing the tax on job-creating businesses in America to make us more competitive. Right now, the United States government imposes a 35% tax on businesses. That's the second worst in the world. The international average is 25%. I'd like to see America be better than average, and I've proposed to reduce that rate to 20%, and that alone would create 500,000 new jobs a year. That's 5 million jobs over a 10-year period. The other thing that would create a lot of jobs in our country is unleashing our American energy resources, and this president, you know, he talked about energy efficiency in buildings. I think that's a worthy goal. I think the government should take the lead in energy efficiency in government buildings. I also hope he would allow us in Virginia to produce natural gas and oil off of our coast. That would be jobs for Virginia and more affordable energy. But the permitting is very slow in the Gulf of Mexico. He's against the Keystone Pipeline, which would create 20,000 jobs and provide Americans with more affordable and a more reliable source of energy. And he ought to tell his EPA to stop the cap-and-trade energy tax scheme, which would be a job killer, as well as end up with skyrocketing electricity rates. So there's some of the things he says. However, the details and the actions are what matters, and I envision a better future than what we're having to experience now in our country.
Well, and getting back to the Keystone XL pipeline specifically, you and your expected Democratic opponent, Tim Kaine, have been sparring over this in recent days. Tim Kaine has supported the president in his at least temporary rejection of that permit, and you've come out in favor of the pipeline. And yet, Mr. Kaine has also pointed out that there may be a contradiction there regarding, for example, uranium mining in Virginia, which Governor Bob McDonnell had said we need to take a go slow approach on that. Can you explain to me the differences between?
Yeah, I think what Tim's trying to do is just avoid his position, which is contrary to, I think, the desires and common sense of most Virginians. The Keystone Pipeline is an oil pipeline. Pipelines are not, obviously, the siting of them, you want to make sure it's being done right and using the most advanced technologies and systems for safety. And there's oil pipelines, there's natural gas pipelines in Virginia and all across the country. The only reason the federal government's gotten into this one and the president is because it crosses the Canadian U.S. border. Otherwise, it'd go through the normal processes of permitting, and it has been studied. The Keystone Pipeline in itself has been studied for 3 years, and they're still foot dragging. And the president and Tim Kaine are playing political games and saying that, oh, we don't want to make a decision on this until after the 2012 elections. My goodness. We have 35 straight months of unemployment of over 8%. Gasoline prices are costing people $30 more every time there's a 20-gallon fill-up, and our creditworthiness as a country has been downgraded for the first time in history. So why wouldn't we want to get a more affordable energy and a reliable source into the United States, right, and rather than being vulnerable to Iran? Right. And so far as uranium mining, there's a law on the books in Virginia. It's been in for decades that is a moratorium prohibiting uranium mining. Just that last month, the Academy of Sciences issued their report. It's understandable that this is an issue of first impression in Virginia. And clearly, all of us want to make sure if uranium mining is to proceed in Virginia, that it is done with proper safeguards for health, and more importantly, we don't even have any regulations in Virginia on uranium mining, and all that's going to have to be promulgated. So there's a big difference in a 3-year study of a oil pipeline where there's hundreds, if not thousands, of miles of them around the country versus Virginia overturning a prohibition on uranium mining. It's a big, big difference. And my view is we ought to get that oil from Canada, and I'd much rather have it coming for American drivers and Virginia drivers than going to China.
All right. Well, what do you think is the most important issue in the Senate campaign this year?
I think the most important issue that I hear from so many people is jobs and the economy. All the issues we've been discussing, whether it's taxes, whether it's regulations, Obamacare is a real impediment for small businesses to hire more workers. If they're anywhere near 50 employees, they don't want to go over 50 because these mandates and these costs have to be imposed on them. Seniors are very worried about whether they'll have access to healthcare providers, those who manufacture medical devices, and in fact, those in the medical professions are very concerned with Obamacare. Energy prices, particularly for people who live in suburban and rural areas where they drive longer distances to and from work and to carry their children around to various activities. These high fuel prices are really, it's not just filling up and it's costing them another $30 every time they fill up. It's affecting a lot of businesses as well. It's affecting the price of groceries. It's affecting farmers as well. And so there's a lot of folks who think, gee, what could I do with that extra $25 or $30 that I'm having to expend every time I fill up? And so all of those affect people's quality of life, the opportunity for people in Virginia and throughout our country to achieve their dreams.
Governor Allen, a lot, as you know, has been written about, and a lot has been said in the media and critics of Congress about the dysfunction in Congress. You served as a senator from 2001 to 2007. Do you think things are different now? Do you think that is a problem? And are there any rules changes that you would support if you make it to the Senate?
Well, I think I hear a lot of frustration. You're exactly right, Bob, about people watching what's going on in Washington. And I'd like to envision, as I said, a better future for families. And people are frustrated. They're fearful that Washington continues to stand in the way. And it's not going to be easy to change the ways of Washington, but the stakes are just way too high not to try. And I think we can take positive steps to get our country back on track. And in fact, when I was governor, I ran on an audacious agenda of all sorts of things we wanted to reform, whether it's abolish parole, welfare reform, academic standards and accountability in schools and so forth. And the Democrats controlled the legislature, but we worked together and we were able to cut taxes by $600 million. We made regulations more reasonable. We abolished parole, making neighborhoods safer. We enacted historic welfare reform. We reduced the size of government. The economy grew, and with over 300,000 net new jobs created in those 4 years alone. So I know it can be done. And there's just no more time for dawdling and foot dragging on anything, whether it's energy policy off our coast, Keystone, reducing taxes on job creating businesses, making sure regulations are reasonable and not overburdensome. All these things need to get done now, because we just cannot continue to have our country decline and have people endure, you know, the whether it's the hardship or, more importantly, the fact that young people graduating from college now have the worst job market since World War II. Veterans coming out of the military are having a hard time finding work. Middle-aged people are also having a difficult time, where the underemployment rate is double what the unemployment rate is. And so we need to make sure America is that land of opportunity for all, and have a government that is on the side of the people and small business owners, rather than imposing more burdens and impediments to their abilities to compete and succeed and lead a fulfilling life.
Well, toward that end, do you think there are specific structural problems with, again, specifically the Senate, that need to be changed so that, you know, you can get more work done, like filibuster rules or the supermajority rules or one senator being able to block a presidential nominee?
Well, let me go through some of these. So the most important change, I think, would be to make sure Harry Reid is not leading the United States Senate for the next 4 to 6 years. That's where there's been so much delay, that the House will pass a variety of measures and it just dries up like a glass of water in the Senate. The key changes that I think are needed, number one, is that the federal government needs to operate the way that people run their households, their businesses, and the way the state government operates. And there needs to be a balanced budget requirement in the Constitution. Also, the president should have line item veto authority, which I used as governor. And I think there should be taxpayer protection. Another big change is the dawdling of Washington. They never get their appropriations bills done on time. They're continuing with these what are called continuing resolutions. They go on month after month and half a year in some cases. It's gotten worse than ever. My view is, if members do not get appropriations bills on time, you withhold their pay. We need to get back to basics. And this is no way to run a government. And those are the key structural changes that'll make the long-term impact of having a federal government focused on its primary responsibility and not have our creditworthiness downgraded. And make sure that we're also trusting the people in the states, the laboratories of innovation, rather than the federal government meddling in things that are none of their business.
Well, Governor Allen, getting back to the race itself, according to the latest public opinion polls, you're running a pretty tight race with your expected opponent, Tim Kaine.
Right.
Why do you think that is in a state like Virginia?
That's the way it is. It's going to be a close race the whole way through. The last poll had me up by 2%, but every one of the polls that are taken, it's going to be door-to-door racing. It's going to be close the whole way through, and the presidential race apparently as well. And so every vote counts. And so, Tim and I have two different visions of the future. We're living his vision right now, because whether as a candidate or prior to that as chairman of the Democratic National Committee, he's endorsed and advocated all the significant policies of this administration, whether it's taxes, whether it's spending, whether it's stimulus, whether it's Obamacare or others. And I envision a different future and a much better future, where we do have more jobs and more affordable energy and a more focused, efficient, and innovative government, and one that does trust the people in the states. So there's those differences, and it's going to be a close race. And my view, and this is what I tell everyone on our A team and those that we're recruiting to our side, is anybody who pays taxes, works for a living, drives a car, or cares about their families ought to be on our side, because our ideas, our proven solutions will work and will improve the opportunity of all Americans to achieve their dreams. I'm hopeful that Virginians will make history and get the course of America on an upward trajectory.
Well, George Allen, former governor of Virginia, former U.S. Senator and member of the House of Representatives, it was good to talk with you. Thanks very much for your time.
All right. Oh, you're welcome, Bob. My pleasure.